Ronda Rousey, she's got long blonde hair. I wanna see her punch guys in the face or run through a field of wheat, flanked by horses with blonde manes.
Just a bunch of blonde horses running?
Ronda, why don't you run through a field of wheat with a bunch of blonde horses so that your hair matches their manes and tails?
That's intense.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have a song. I'll come up with one at the end.
You're better than this.
I'll come up with a song at the end of the podcast, but I'm very excited because here on The Fighter and Kid, we've got Ronda Rousey.
We got the fighter, the kid, the Ronda.
The fighter, the kid, and the queen.
Yeah, that works.
As it were. You just finished doing a huge movie, huh?
I finished doing a movie.
Oh, a couple big movies, sorry.
Couple movies. I don't like saying like they're so huge and I am so cool and awesome and important. And I'm like, yeah, finished the other day.
So humble. But they
I
are.
I think a lot of people would disagree with that.
I would say humble.
How do you? You're not. You can't be humble if you're an extreme winner. Joe Rogan calls you an extreme winner. Like he's.
I appreciate that. I appreciate a good compliment every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Rogan is fascinated with extreme winners, and you're one of those people that he talks about. He just, there's nothing like, he loves everything about you. He kind of, when I mention you, he goes like this. He'll make weird noises. He'll go, ha, ha, ha. I love her. He goes, ha, ha, ha. I love her. He doesn't like a lot of people.
No, he hates a bunch of people, huh?
See, when people ask, like, what's the word that comes to your mind when you think of one person, when my name's mentioned, I just want sound effects to come out. I just want Joe Rogan sound effects.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that means more. If you can't even think of a word.
When I think of Ronda Rousey, I think of... that war cry from Zeppelin. That should be your nickname. Ronda! Rousey in one corner. And in this corner, if you were fighting me, Brian, the Wiggler Callan.
The Wiggler.
Yeah, because I'd be wiggling as you test it. I said to Brendan, I go, if I trained for a year, how would I do? He goes, not happening, my man. I go, well, how long would it take?
You.
I go, how long would it take me to hang with her with jiu-jitsu? He goes, it wouldn't. It's not happening.
No.
I have too much of a
head start. She thinks she can armbar me and take me down. She tells me this all the time.
Well,
guess what? It ain't happening.
I mean, you said never under any circumstances. And I'm saying, like, if you're in the middle of making a latte, I could sneak up behind you and, like, you know, pull something off.
Kick my foot out or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Never under any circumstances could this possibly happen. I'm like, I know where you live. I'll figure it out somehow.
See, what's funny about, I think part of your allure is the mystery. I think we are always drawn to a mystery of why somebody is the way they are. And, you know, and so... Part of like what I'm drawn to is the mystery of what makes you so intense and such a winner all the time.
Have you met her mom?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Have you ever met her mom?
Yeah, but a lot of people have mothers that are like that.
No, Brian, I'm telling you now. Have you met her mom?
You were held to
a mom like you haven't seen.
Really?
Yep. It's different.
She's got a presence.
It's
like,
different.
She looks into your soul.
Tell them the story about when you were doing judo and other kids were getting water. What were you doing? yeah, how about that?
Well, she wouldn't specifically tell me to not get water, but she would talk shit about the kids that went and got water too much.
Is that right?
Yeah,
like
and I would stand and not lean on any walls and like not get any water unless, you know, she was specifically told me, you go get water.
Damn.
Like, I didn't get the order to get water. I was not getting water.
Well, because you were held to a world champion standard.
From the get-go. Yeah, man. She was held to a different standard than the rest of these jerk-offs who are getting freaking water every, you know?
I know, but we live in a society where that would be considered, you know, like, I don't know, you get in trouble for that
for
if you're
sure.
A teacher.
Oh, in football, they thought, they were just uneducated. They thought by not giving us water is making us tougher. That's back in the day.
Right.
And then that NFL dude died, big lineman died for the Vikings.
Wow.
Everyone's all, we better figure this out. So then they started requiring water breaks. But it's that mentality. Even now, I've had coaches who are like, you don't need water. Yeah, bro, I need water, man. It doesn't mean I'm not tough. I'm parched, man. I'm thirsty as shit.
Well, you're a water-based operation.
Wouldn't torture me or anything. She wouldn't just stand there and like.
No, but no, I'm not saying your mom abused you. But I'm just saying.
The other day, like my first real injury was I was 11 years old and I broke my big toe. And my mom said, you have 9 other toes left. Complain to me when you only have 1 left. Run laps around the mat. And I had to run laps around the mat crying the rest of the night.
Gangster. Damn. And then you get this little gangster.
Well, that's what
you
do. By the
that's
way,
exactly what I would do to my kid.
I was going to say, I hate to say it, your mom was right. If I knew that my daughter would be a world champion the way you are and be that much of a success, I mean, you don't seem too traumatized to me.
No. She would just say, like, what are you going to do if you break your toe the day of the Olympics? You only have 1 day. You only have 1 shot.
Right.
So she would purposely, if I was sick one day, it's like you have to fight when you're sick. You have to
like,
know
Mom,
you can fight.
I'm 11. I'm 11.
But you do find out who you are.
Yeah.
And you become more familiar with things that would stop most people, like injury, fatigue, sickness.
I definitely don't understand other people's mindsets that didn't have the kind of upbringing that I did, you know. And at the time when you're a kid, you think, oh, my mom was trying to ruin my life. And then when you get older, I'm like, she was a genius. And I was stupid not to be grateful for every minute of it. And now I am.
Andre Agassi's father was the same way. Steffi Graf's father was the same way.
Hold on.
Tennis.
You're just comparing tennis to.
I'm just mentioning world champions. When you're a world champion in tennis for a long time, it's saying something. Venus and Serena.
Get back out there and hit the ball.
Get back out there.
A little different than combat sports, my man.
It may be, but it's still
I know
the same
you're
mindset.
Tired. Get back out there. Pull your socks up and hit the ball.
Still the same mindset. You're still playing a lot of other people. That's not a good impression of Steffi Graf's dad. Get back out there.
Get back out there, Steffi.
That's a bad German accent.
That's good, man.
You sound like Arnold. Get back out there.
Come on, do it now.
It's terrible.
We got some fights, Rhonda. I'm not going to say, I mean, look, we got fights. We got Bisping Kennedy. And personally, I got Bisping on this.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I got Bisping too.
Oh, interesting. What happened? You got something to say?
No, I also think Bisping's going to win. I don't think it's going to be an easy one. I'll tell you what, it's not going to be a fun fight. Hate to tell you.
Boring?
Hate to do it to Fox Sports, one, but it's not going to be the most entertaining fight you've ever seen. Mm-mm.
Can I make a prediction?
Do you ever see Chael Bisping? There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Congrats. Yep.
Well, one thing about Bisping is he never gasses, and I just feel like...
I've seen him get tired, but yeah, he has good cardio.
Yeah.
Kennedy has really good cardio.
That's a lot of muscle to feed. I feel like he's going to...
Yeah, you feel like what? I don't think he's ever gassed out in a fight. Kennedy's known for his gas.
Rhonda was like, you're
he's
so
known
right.
for his gas?
Yeah. I mean, he's a beast, man.
Rhonda, what's your take?
I mean, I remember that Kennedy kind of had a little issue with me being named above him on like an apocalypse list. Like, who would you want in your apocalypse team? And I beat him out on that, and he was a little butthurt about it. And so I'm like, you know what? Bisping's winning then.
No, hold on. No, hold on.
Yeah, the special forces soldier.
No,
the guy who's
hold
seen
on.
A lot of combat.
Hold on. Are you saying you should be ranked higher than Tim Kenny in apocalypse, a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, because I have powers of reproduction.
Oh, that is a good point.
Not if the zombies
that
get you and kill
good,
you off.
I don't know.
I'm
who cares? You need more soldiers, man. And I'll tell you what happens.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna raise these soldiers while zombies are knocking down
she's
the door.
She's putting
Meanwhile, my boy Tim Kenny, I'm resting at night. I'm getting sleep. He has the lookout.
Just saying, bro. I'm in it for the long run with the zombies. I want to be 70 years old with zombies around, and I want some little diesel little kids
Thank
running
you.
Around, and I'm an ovarian gold mine.
You go
I'm
to the breeding tower. She's going to
the perimeter.
She's going to the breeding tower.
My boy Tim Kennedy's killing everyone. I'm not doing anything. My life's just normal. I have this bodyguard, this basically Captain America, killing zombies left and right. My day, nothing changes. Nothing changes. I'm gonna have to worry about her. I have to be the Tim Kennedy in that situation.
But
I'm not ready for that.
She's making a
I'm
very,
need a man
I'm just
up
trying
an
to go,
apocalypse
dude,
for me?
No, I'm just trying to go on Naked and Afraid.
No, hold.
I'll take
hold.
It from there.
Listen up.
Put zombies on Naked and Afraid. No, I don't want to do it.
This is the thing with Rhonda. Rhonda just made a very important point. What we do is we create a perimeter around the breeding tower.
With Tim Kennedy?
Well, probably with Tim and a lot of other guys.
As long as Tim Kennedy's in on it, I'm down.
Yeah, and not only that, I'm sorry to do this, but Rhonda is, because she's such incredible genetic stock, we have to breed a lot of diesel children. You may have to have sex with a lot of different studs. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, Brendan. I'm sorry. I want to apologize. And I will, and look.
That's you, Brendan. You were wrong with that answer.
For my patriotic duty, I am
You're
going to
man up?
I'll man up. I'm a very athletic
You're
guy.
You're going to man up?
I'll do the You're best man I can. Up? I'm light in the ass, a little light in the ass. But listen, the bottom line is, you're going to have to, I will be in charge of that
There's
going to
be a bunch of the fighter and the kid. Kids made with Rhonda.
I feel
some are gonna be all big and brown and just athletic as crap.
The other guys
are gonna be like, "What? Well, these ones have? What's wrong with these ones?
They dig
ones?
Tunnels. They dig
they have
tunnels.
Little hands.
They're
and
tunnel
feet.
Diggers. Tunnel diggers.
Little tunnel
you
diggers.
You need tunnel diggers, bro.
It's true.
Intense. I'm intense. And my kids will be. Listen, they'll be. Your mom always has you like walking around, and my kids will be digging in dirt constantly. Dig. You need underground tunnels to ambush
and build
zombies.
A Scion for all of us.
Right. I'm just
forget Tim Kennedy. I'm with you. You and me, bro.
Bro,
Rhonda.
That's it. Yeah.
We got this.
Cue music. Pong chicka pong pong. Listen, Rhonda, thank you, first of all, for doing that for America and for the future of humanity. You brought it up. I love that
you said
that.
You guys swayed me towards Rhonda now. That's a good point.
That's a really good point.
I just feel like with Tim, I'm just thinking about myself selfishly here. If I have Tim, nothing changes. He's just such a badass.
Listen to me, bro. This is why
you're I'm changing my pick. I think he's going to beat Bisbing now. Forget both of you. Yeah,
really?
I'm changing my pick.
You're going to need to stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about humanity the way Rhonda. The minute Rhonda, I asked, she goes, I have reproductive powers. I have to create a lot of other, I have to create an army.
So are we saying the zombie apocalypse is just me and Tim Kenny? That's it? I can't just grab some random off the street, save her?
No, you
can't. Me and Tim do work, yeah.
Well, the question was,
I'm
who's
saying,
ranked higher? Who's ranked higher on the who
That's
do you
true.
Take with you in your
well,
army?
Well, if aliens came to this Earth and could only take two people, Rhonda's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Aw. Yeah.
Adorable.
So sweet of you.
And, yeah, I'd probably take Rhonda.
But I love that Rhonda immediately goes with Bisbing because Kennedy chose.
Oh.
Kennedy said he was higher on the list of a hypothetical war that'll
never happen. This little one.
Talk about competitive.
Yeah. No, this little one. No, competitive, and she'll hold grudges. How about the? Tell them about the guy. If you can, how about the guy at Valet in Vegas?
Michael at Mandalay Bay.
Who remembers this stuff?
Oh,
she used to. When I first met Rhonda,
the baby elephant. He said, "She's
Rhonda's,
the baby elephant."
No, her.
She does not forget.
She never forgets anything. So she used to. When I first met her, she drove this Honda. This thing, I don't know how to put it.
The Fonda.
It has bumper stickers. It's covered in bumper stickers. It looks like if Venice had a car, this would be it. It had bumper stickers all over it. You get inside, it's filthy. And then there's like glued like toys and Legos and just trash everywhere.
Oh, that's
I got
awesome.
In and I was
How
like,
awesome would it be
right?
to have one base Lego and just be able to build a creation off your dashboard, right?
I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird from the get-go.
Well,
however,
you're a neat freak. He's such a neat freak. He tricks his beamer out.
Oh, we're complete opposites. Yeah,
and she's more
I'm more Marina Del Rey. She's Venice.
She's ready for the zombie apocalypse. She can't have a fancy car. It's too much of a target. So she drives around in
my car's faster, so I'm going to get away from the zombies. That's not a big deal.
Yeah. We haven't raced the cars yet.
I mean, we can. We can.
She's like, wait, my car might be faster.
No.
I don't know. You know what? I might admit to his being a little bit faster.
Are you competitive in everything, like including?
I was competitive.
No, tell him about the story where the valet. So she used to drive this Venice crap car called the Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls up, and what the valet guy say to you?
I don't know. He was just extremely rude to me. But there was a time where, I was making a lot of money, but I didn't have time to spend it. And so, like, I used to work for tips. I tip like nobody's business. If you're nice to me, I will make your day. And that guy was just a straight up dick to me from the second I rolled up because I didn't look like I was balling. And I was like,
well, he judged you based off the car.
Based off the car. And so he
rightfully so. I judge you too.
Excuse me.
When I got in, I was like, what?
Really
the...
friendly and nice, you know? You don't have to just be a dick to me because my car has
he didn't need
it.
To be a dick.
I agree.
But if you bump in that Fonda, I'm with this guy. I'm not thinking, balling. I'm going to get a fat ass tip.
I know, but you're not like overtly
you shouldn't be
rude.
Mean. You shouldn't
he
be
was
mean.
Mean. He was mean.
Okay, so
he
he's
gave
mean
me that
you.
Look. Yeah, like
and
like
so,
the, ugh.
And
like,
so you remembered him.
I have to touch your car. Yeah.
Yeah, a year later.
It was actually more than a year later. But no, I was
that's weird. Goes back in her Beamer and finds this guy. How weird is this?
You did?
How weird is this?
I went back to Mandalay. I didn't see Michael. But I asked his name. I was like, what's your name? He's like, Michael. I was like, I'll remember you, Michael.
She drove back looking for Michael to rub it in his face. How weird is that?
I wonder what
Who does that?
But that is interesting. That mentality is almost like I need to put something back in its place, right? It's justice.
Yeah, like I had to succeed and get a better car after that. Like I wouldn't just walk around and be like, I wouldn't just try and start a fight with Michael the valet in the valet.
Right.
I made sure that within the next year, I was going to have a dope ass motherfucking ride to roll in front of Michael.
You know what? I think we owe Michael something. I think you should give Michael some of your purse because, I mean, he's basically motivated.
He's only one of a series, okay? There's a lot of people like that. But
you know Todd Phillips? Todd Phillips, who's the writer-director of The Hangover, he's been very successful. And I said, what drives you a lot of times? He goes, revenge. because I just want to tell all these bitches that they were wrong about me.
Spite is like, the greatest motivator. Yeah. I keep saying if I was, like, you know, doing the whole Jedi Darth thing, I would totally be dark side for sure.
Would you?
Yeah. Yeah, because light side's all defense and niceness, and dark side's all spite. I would totally get my powers from that.
You know, when you are standing, when you were standing across the ring,
Anyone more intense?
Well, dude, Sarah McMahon couldn't even look at you. Like I was like, oh no.
Well, that girl was beat before it even
started. Rhonda was like staring at her, and did you actually call that you were going to take her out with a
body shot? Yeah. I don't like calling it, but my coach already called it. He was like, she's going to drop her with a body shot, for sure.
Wow.
And I was like, why would you tell them our game plan? I always say, no game plan. I have no game plan. And yeah, you know, that the whole idea was the whole sparring, everything, and we were concentrating on hitting the body. And
she was breaking all her toys in training camp with body shots.
I looked at her, and I watched some of her fights before your fight, and obviously, you know, I always root for you, and I was worried because she looked so strong, and her boxing looked really good, and Brendan kind of went, and I said, I expressed some of my worry to Brendan. Brendan goes,
no, your friend, I'm not going to mention his name, Brian,
he's a wrestler.
UFC expert. He goes, bro, he calls everything on the dime. And then Brian...
No, he didn't call...
Let me finish this. Yeah. 3 weeks before... we're like at Dove's house, and we're like, he's like, oh, what do you think of that McMahon-Rousey fight? I'm like, easiest fight around his career. She's a wrestler. She's going to be a little bit different. I'm like, easiest fight of her career. Guarantee you. It's not going to go out of the first round. You'll be surprised.
Well, she's
Brian,
so, she's
who's
strong,
the expert
right?
now?
Yeah, I mean, I just...
Well, I knew.
I felt good for that. Can't, like, that whole everything going straight from one fight into another is a lot better for you than taking 11 months off. I mean, you know...
Big round.
Can I mention your thing?
For sure.
Yeah, because, like... Brendan's not going to have another fight for a long time, and so he found a goal to fill in the meantime, is going to go do the jiu-jitsu gi worlds just to have some sort of competition to do.
Yeah.
This chick had 11 months straight with nothing. Like, ring rust is something real that sucks.
Hold. She also only has one fight in the UFC. Are you comparing me to Sarah McMahon right now? Because I have 10 fights in the UFC.
No, we're not.
Well, no, but well, for Sarah McMahon, from going on the undercard fight on Facebook where 50 friends see you to the main event against Ronda Rousey, you're going to shit your pants.
Yeah.
You're beat before you even walk in.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like, as soon as they saw they put the camera on, like, oh, she lost.
I could see
Or it. When they showed Misha Tate, when she came out to freaking Katy Perry, like, oh,
I remember
no.
you said that. You were like,
right when Misha walked down, I'm like, oh, no, she didn't have a chance. And you're like, why? I'm like, she thinks it's a game.
Yeah.
Rhonda doesn't think it's
Rhonda's
a game.
Rhonda's there to fight.
When you come out to Katy Perry.
Cupcake bathrobe and Katy Perry. Like,
I was
like,
no, she's so screwed. Good for her, though. Good marketing, for sure. Whoever told her to do that. Good marketing.
It's all good, yeah. But, you know, I mean.
Been better if you won. But.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to beat Rhonda Rousey.
Well, she was preparing more for a loss. You could kind of tell. I mean, that handshake was like, boom. She was like ready for it right away. That was something
you
in her head.
You could feel it?
No, I mean, she knew, it's like, okay, when I lose, I'm going to throw the handshake.
Now, you took some backlash for not shaking her hand. If you could redo it, would you shake her hand?
No,
nope.
I wouldn't.
Nope.
I liked your answer, though. I liked what you said about that. Because when I said, oh, I was with Brendan, I said, oh, man, I wish she had shook her hand. And Brendan said, she's a baby elephant. She doesn't forget. But then you explained it differently. You said that her apology was not sincere. It wasn't as though she had a chance to really apologize personally. And it was more of a grandstanding kind of thing where...
Well, she referred to your family, right? Your mom.
I mean, she pretty much insulted everybody. It went on for a very, very long time. And I would just...
You
thought,
took it personal. You
well,
went with your own
when
path.
It goes
took
outside, it when it goes outside just between me and her, it becomes a little more
what
personal.
What did she say that really got you? Because I don't know.
I don't even want to recap the whole everything because it would take forever. But I'm just saying that... Her gesture was entirely dependent on being watched.
Right.
And my response was entirely despite being watched. And to just be like, okay, whatever, and shake hands with her right then would be more insulting to my family. Mm. And it wasn't worth it to me.
Ooh, Rhonda said no new friends.
No new friends. And everybody that was like, oh, that's so unsportsmanlike, that's terrible, da da da. And I was like, what's the most iconic picture of all sports?
Probably Muhammad Ali looking over.
How unsportsmanlike is that?
Yeah.
But everybody loves it, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, why is that?
You're authentic because you were being authentic.
There's no filter with it. There's no filter.
That's who she is.
I'll never forget on Thanksgiving when she was on Fox. My family tunes in to watch it. She's on there. And I'm like, oh, this is sweet. Everyone's eating turkey. Rhonda gets on their Fox Sports. I'm ready to die in there. Everyone's like, damn. I mean,
I'm just saying.
My dad's like, geez, I'm ready to die, Fox. Who wants some? Everyone's all, wow, okay.
I'm ready to die.
They're like, you like turkey? I'll f*** your turkey.
I was wasn't like that.
You were
like
super
that.
Intense. Super intense.
Well, I'm an intense person, but I was watching SportsCenter this morning. And the guy was going on about, you know, some – athlete and some coach was talking about something that was going on with each other, and they're like, yeah, so-and-so athlete, he gave the perfect response and da-da-da-da, and, you know, you would think it was all butterflies between the two of them, and so who knows what their real opinion
is. That's all fake.
People know it's all fake, whereas, like, if I just, people are used to me just having no filter on, then you don't have a shock value anymore, and I can really say whatever I want. People are whatever used to it.
Well, and some people love it. Obviously, some people hate it. More people love it, though. Do you try to censor yourself at all? I mean,
no. Sometimes I actually try to embellish a little bit, really? For the sake of and entertainment. Cursing?
Do you know when I loved the, for emphasis? Do you know when I became very intrigued by you, and I didn't even know much about you. I hadn't seen you fight, and I've actually talked about it in my stand-up. When you said, and I think you were talking about either Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, and you said that you don't want your little sister looking Kardashian. Up to her. Because she doesn't do anything. She hasn't accomplished anything.
Besides make millions.
That doesn't matter, though. That's not what you want to admire. Because a lot of people make millions doing things that are, you know, not necessarily what you would consider noble.
But, well, I just...
Not to take anything
away from her
specifically.
I don't want people to have, like, little girls to have the same ambitions as me. But I do want them to think it's okay to be ambitious. And I don't want them to say the same things I do, but... I want them to not be scared to speak their mind. And maybe me going super, super over the top kind of makes everything underneath that seem a little bit more
that makes sense.
Reasonable and attainable for everybody else.
But
so,
you were also talking about accomplishment. I mean, when you work really hard at something as a woman, that is less admired sometimes in our society than if you have a bone structure that cuts light really well and you change a lot and you wear really cool clothing. I'm just saying that in our culture, it's I think
well
it's,
with the
it's,
with
it's
the Kardashians, what so if we're comparing Ron and Kim Kardashian, one of them is a freak, right? Freak, super talented, pretty, right? And then one of them just kind of straight Hollywood, made a sex video, and then her mom's a marketing genius.
Yeah.
So she has zero talent. Kim Kardashian possesses zero talent. You'll never see a one-on-one interview on Oprah with her. She can't handle it. She's not. She can't even elaborate in her, you know, in her interviews. I mean, it didn't make sense.
Right.
But by Rhonda attacking that, I think it's good, especially for young girls.
It got my
attention. For young
girls.
It got
my attention, and I got very intrigued with it. And I went, "That's exactly right." And I hadn't heard anybody really have the guts to really and articulate it that way. And I thought it was important to. That's the kind of stuff that I think is important.
Well, I was just more surprised that I was really the first person to really say something.
I agree.
Because everybody's so scared of criticism. Like,
yeah.
People self-censor so much because they're scared of criticism. And just like, you know what? Just pushing the limit as far as it'll go really makes everything under that limit seem so much more normal to everybody else.
Right.
You know?
But so. You were just telling the truth as you saw it, too. And it's amazing how... You can take a lot of flack for just doing that. Something that most of us actually agree with if we think
most
about
of us
it.
Think it, but no one's going to have the balls.
And not
to
only
say
that,
it.
Our society is based on and predicated. You're raised to believe you got to accomplish things. That's how you build self-esteem.
For sure,
how you build acumen and knowledge
100%.
About yourself. Athletes know that right away, but I just feel like we do, in a lot of ways, have support. Our culture supports. The other thing that doesn't necessarily make you feel good about yourself.
Have you ever seen, on a side note, have you ever seen Rhonda's little sister?
I've not.
She's
drop dead gorgeous.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Super, super,
super
smart.
She's like, in like some X-Men school. She's in some X-Men school.
On like
where only
scholar.
Only little genius 16. Kids go.
16.
It's her and all Asians. It's her and all Asians. One white girl, 60 Asians.
Good sign.
And they import these
sign.
Asians from China. Yeah. And then there's this one white girl.
All right.
She must be pretty smart.
It's pretty ridiculous. I drove her up to drop her off one day, and she's not just super, super smart, but she's socially, like, brilliant, and, like, the way I wasn't at that age. And I pulled up to the campus and dropped her off, and literally every single kid on the campus went, Julia's here, and, like, rushed to the car, like, so excited to see her because
wow.
She wasn't just – she's not just book smart. You know, she's really socially just
– Is she an athlete at all?
Yeah. She's, like – just started soccer like super late and went from like, you know, a lot of these kids start when they're four, and she was like on all our all-star teams within like 2 years and stuff. She's another one of
she's
those like super smart,
line.
Super beautiful, super athletic, and I don't like her seeing like walking around in porn star shoes. It just doesn't fit her.
And listen, yeah. She's at this X-Men school. They gave her detention because she was doing her homework too late at night. Yeah, that's kind of ship to run in there.
Yeah.
You want to do homework late at night? You're in detention.
That's amazing.
I was like, whoa, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you better finish impressive that stuff.
Yeah, no TV, nothing. They live in dorms. It's intense.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, what your kids doing?
Yeah, I got
to see. Because this little X-Men's getting ready to change the world. Think about what
now,
you're doing.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, Brennan is obsessed with the show.
With Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid Sundays.
Now, do you know the show? Do you know the show?
Oh, yeah, she knows the show.
What's the first thing you're doing when you get out there?
No. Forget this. You gotta take me or Brian. Who are you going to take?
I'm going to take you.
This is easy. All right. I just want to establish that. All right.
That was so cute the way she said that. She goes, I'm going to take you.
This is the prom. Last night's Naked and Afraid. Yeah. They were in Belize, and it was rain, and I wouldn't do well in there. I watched that. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Because it was all, your feet are soaked in water the whole time, and the mosquitoes attack your ass. This guy's ass was just like a golf ball.
That's a big problem.
Big problem. You don't want that.
Yeah.
So it was horrible. And now this is my problem with Naked and Afraid after we've been watching. Then we'll have Rhonda chime in on Naked and Afraid, and she's an expert on Naked and Afraid. I love the show, but I think that a little bit of it is fake, because every show they're killing these boa snakes.
Oh, boy.
And these snakes are first of all, everyone catches them. They're super like sedated or sleepy, and they're the easiest thing to kill. Like they look like, oh, look at that. Like the guy was walking last night. They haven't ate in 16 days. Come on. What's the chances? He's walking through. He's like, whoa, look at that boa.
Yeah, that's
and then,
fake.
Like, the boa's literally, like, on his deathbed, like, one eye open.
They
looks like drunk.
Prozac.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to kill this thing.
Prozac
he's
boa.
He's like, you don't want to get bit by this thing.
What if it was
then
cold?
Then he has a branch. It was 100 degrees. You saw this. It was 100
at
degrees.
At night? Was it daytime?
No, it was daytime. You can't see it at the night. No one's hunting at night. So he has a stick.
I do.
He has a stick. Pins it by the head and then just like chops his head off. There's no way it's that easy.
I've caught snakes before. It's not that hard.
A giant boa snake?
No, rattlesnake?
I don't think so.
It's a boa constrictor, but don't worry about it.
Boa constrictor.
Yeah.
Not easy to catch.
I feel like boas, you wouldn't, like, it'd be pretty easier to catch because.
They put up zero fight. This is scripted. I'm telling you. They buy these boa constrictors from PetSmart.
Probably.
Put them up, fill them with NyQuil, and then toss them into the jungle. And they're like, oh my God, crikey. And then they kill this thing.
Well, maybe the person doesn't know that.
The person doesn't.
But
the three cameramen and the producer are like, hey, get one of those sleepy boas. pump them full of NyQuil, would you?
By the way, and I got to tell you something. If you got a choice between Brennan and I, I'm sorry to say that you're crazy for taking him. Let me tell you why.
Because he would need to eat a lot?
Because he's the biggest whiner. This is what, let me do Brennan and Madagascar.
This is Brennan in camp.
Day one,
Madagascar?
6 hours in after missing one meal. I'm lightheaded. You go ahead. I got to lie down. I'm lightheaded.
Oh, God.
This sucks.
Actually, I heard that yesterday.
I'm lightheaded.
I heard that yesterday. Just laying down on the beach.
Yeah.
Super
I was fasting
in Santa Monica.
For 24 right. hours. 24 right. hour fast. I didn't eat for 24 hours.
24. It's like 12.
Yeah.
You know, like he woke up at 10.
Of course he did.
He looks over to me and goes, man, I haven't eaten all day. I'm lightheaded.
Day two. Ready? Day two for the impression?
You've been conscious for 2 hours.
Exactly.
Right?
Day two. This is day two. Big Brown. I want to go home. I hate this show so much. That's what you are. You are.
Not a chance.
You're the biggest.
Anyways,
I think he would cap out on the complaining after day one and then be super diesel after that.
You think
first
so?
Of all, you got to remember when camera's on, it's showtime. I'd be just fine.
You know what?
And then as soon as the camera shut off, I'm like, seriously, does anyone have Snickers or anything? You, camera boy, you got a Snickers, anything on you?
How about this?
I'd shake them down. Every night I'd shake them down.
If I got cameras watching, I'm literally in Afghanistan. Second day, we haven't slept or anything. Steve Burns doing stand-up, and he says to the entire Army base, Brian would like to challenge anybody here in a push-up contest. I don't do a lot of push-ups. I can do okay, but I don't do a lot. This diesel guy comes up and says he's going to challenge me. I look at him, I'm like, oh, here goes. You know, he's Marine or whatever. I'm done. Beat him. I beat him.
You beat him?
Beat him. Did 87 push-ups
Dang,
in a row.
Got,
and I got Dove David off there as a witness. Steve... 87. I can't do. I didn't know I could do 40. 87. You know why? Everybody's watching.
Pressure's on, man.
Everybody's watching.
Adrenaline's
me, and I
flowing.
Will perform.
You're a true performer.
I will perform.
This is one of my favorite stories about Brian. I think you were telling me. Maybe it was on this podcast. I forget. He goes, bro, went to Afghanistan. Me and Dove, whole room killed it. Oh, really, Brian? You and Dove killed it with the soldiers stuck in Afghanistan? Haven't seen entertainment in about 2 years?
So true.
And you guys come in? I could walk up there and do knock-knock jokes, and they'd be falling off the
seats. There's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Anyways, back to Naked and Afraid of Rhonda. Naked and Afraid of Rhonda. So, you're in, we'll do last night. You're in Belize like they were last night. All right. What's the, first of all, what are you bringing? Because we know, because remember, you can bring one thing. So if we're partners, you get one thing, I get one thing. We have our little baggies right now. I'm pulling mine out.
It's always the same combination.
Ask me what I brought.
You brought a knife, I brought a fire starter.
Wrong. Cajun seasoning.
It's so annoying.
But they always bring the same two things. You notice that?
I know. That's why I'm mixing it up, Cajun seasoning. Like last night, they ate those snails. Those would be pretty tasty if they
Cajun
seasoning.
You know what? You would be
the
dude that was like, you know what? We haven't eaten for 3 weeks. Let's smoke the snake.
I want
some smoked snake.
For sure. Smoked Cajun snake.
What? Gourmet Cajun smoked
Cajun. In a way, I have to say,
it's a good idea.
Seasoning is not a bad idea.
Right?
Because it disinfects.
Yeah.
And it does make your life a little easier. And snails taste a lot better with a little Cajun seasoning.
That's what
seasoning.
I'm saying. However, I think the sodium, if you're low on water and taking all that salt, it can't be good.
We'll get water.
So what are you gonna bring? Fire starter, and you didn't bring a knife. I'm gonna be pissed.
I'm gonna make a knife out of one of the rocks.
I'm gonna make a rock knife.
Yeah, like old school, like
you guys are already arguing.
Like
yeah.
a spearhead.
Yeah, like a spearhead, like the Indians did. That's a given.
You know what's funny?
Don't bring something I can make. You're like, yo, I brought a cup. I'm like,
well,
what?
On the Madagascar one, the chick was saying like, oh, well, the knife was a little bit more of a luxury. Like, yeah, you didn't have to build shit. You found like. A Holiday Inn cave with fresh water dripping out
of
the ceiling.
That drives me nuts. Hey, Naked and Afraid, make it easier.
Wait, what about, would you take a machete? A machete?
Machete?
Or do you take an axe?
Not an axe.
No,
axe is too big. You're not killing
knife.
Anything with an axe.
That's, yeah, like some parts of it has teeth and some parts of it is like,
So
know.
That's what you're bringing.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what you're bringing, number one?
Yeah.
The fire starter. One of us has to bring a fire starter.
So it's all on me to bring something intelligent.
Yeah,
so I have to think. I'm like, either a knife or a fire starter. All right, I'm bringing the fire starter, and
I'll spend all
day making your rock knife.
Well, I'll just get a bamboo and like make it all sharp.
Hey, bro, they're not, you know, in the jungle, it's hard to find rocks. How about that?
Chop a tree down with a bamboo sharpened stick.
Yeah, good luck.
How are you going to build me a shelter?
You need a knife.
Because you have to build me a shelter.
No.
You can't just bank on a cave.
We're sleeping on giant leaves.
Are you going to dig me a
hole?
Like Fern Gully.
We're sleeping on these giant leaves.
You know what
leaves.
Might be a good idea?
Haven't you ever seen Avatar?
You might need to bring, I don't know, what about, you could bring a hammock. Because that way you.
God, that's pretty, a hammock's not bad.
Yeah.
You're lifted off the ground.
And you don't have to deal with bugs.
I would imagine it'd be nice
bugs.
If they,
what are you talking about? Then they have way more area to bite you.
No, your cup. The hammock kind of surrounds you. Especially if there's two in it,
the
sides.
In the hammock. That way, the
leaves are like a blanket, and then you're raised up. You know what?
I
would be willing to bet
too.
It'd be nice if Naked Afraid producers reach out to us. I think there's a list that you can't bring certain stuff. Like, obviously,
really?
You can't bring a gun and shoot monkeys out of the trees. Like, what'd you bring? I brought a machine gun.
A scatter gun.
What'd you bring? AK-47. What do you got there? A fire starter? That's cool.
I'm having roasted deer.
Yeah.
The problem with a gun like that is if you're in Madagascar, you will, on day six, you're killing an endangered animal. I see an elephant, I'm shooting it, and I'm eating elephant tusks.
Or if it's you and me, I'm killing you after day seven, Brian. I'm eating your legs. I'm eating your legs with spots and all.
Don't.
With
no,
Cajun seasoning.
No, I don't have spots on my legs anymore.
No, you got rid of them?
No. Look at my awesome cat.
You see, yeah, pretty legit. See, you can't.
One of those foosball muscles?
Look at the size of this thing. It's from dance. Years of dance.
I keep hearing about this dance. I've never seen any
of this
dance.
Oh, he can dance a little bit.
Oh, I'm a beautiful dancer.
All right, back to Naked and Afraid. Rhonda.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing Cajun seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
You got your fire starter.
Right.
What's the first thing we do?
Well, you only bring one thing?
Well,
you can only bring one.
You got to have fire.
Well, the first thing everybody always does is they look for an area that they can camp out.
Yeah.
And so.
But you're moving, right? You have to get somewhere.
No. Well, in 21 days, the last day you kind of get to the extraction point.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to find a place to camp out. You can try and make your bamboo knife and build me some shelter. And I'm going to go and make myself some clothes or something.
Nope. See, waste of energy, waste of time.
You know what?
I'm
not walking out of there with Amazon titties, okay?
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are.
I want to keep my
feet. We got to protect our feet.
I'm
going to
protect my... No. I want to have nice titties when I'm done because no, I feel like some of those girls walk out saggier than the one they walked
in. That's not true.
You know what they're going to do?
3 weeks just of gravity pulling. That's like age. I was like, that's like 2 years added to my titties.
I want 27-year-old titties
when I leave, okay? I'm not leaving with 29-year-old titties.
You know at the end when they rate everyone? They'll be like, Ronda Rousey lost 21 pounds and came away with orangutan titties. Big Brown lost 30 pounds and is actually browner.
I'm just saying, but his dick is hanging lower. I don't want my little fuzzy part to be like drifting lower like as the show goes on.
You can take a straight razor with you.
Ronda came in and left with orangutan titties.
So
National
funny.
Geographic titties.
And a 70s bush.
now you're thinking you wish you brought that knife.
Yeah, not good.
Like, Brendan, I'm trying to shave with your bamboo stick. It sucks, okay?
Not good. I think we would make it. I think 100% we'd make it on Naked and Afraid. 21 days. I think
you don't even die. You don't die after 21 days of not eating. All you would need is water, and then you could just lay there the whole time and still make it.
Well, I mean, watch your P's and Q's, because all you need is water. It's kind of tough to find sometimes.
That's true.
You just can't drink the water, you know, on the ground.
You get dysentery.
You got to wait for it to rain, then you got to make
cups. What about, how do you boil water?
In the fire that I made with my fire starter.
Yeah. In what pot?
Well, you find like a rock.
You can find like a rock, a concave rock, or you can like cut out some bamboo with your bamboo stick.
You cut a bamboo.
Cut your bamboo with your bamboo stick and make a little bowl. Well, you can boil rocks and drop it in there.
Yeah, you drop them in.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we've seen the show a couple times.
Hey, Rhonda, wait a moment. This young lady seems to know what to do. That's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
Pretty legit.
Dude.
The hypothetical Naked and Afraid conversations have been never ending for like the last few weeks.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. We've been talking about Naked and Afraid, and then we're also talking about, I think I was talking about with Tony, then you and I started talking about this. Mm. This is going to be an interesting conversation. Feel free to chime in, everyone, especially we got prenups. How about prenups? It should be, we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I'm going to totally take this a whole different route. It should be a given. When you get married, there shouldn't be a choice.
Like
health insurance, car insurance. Listen, I hope I don't get sick and die. I hope I don't get in a wreck and tow my car.
Right.
But if I do, if things go bad, I have this in plan.
So when you get married,
same thing. Listen, we're all in love. All's good. You know, everything's great. But if it does go south, we got this in, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be an issue.
In California,
it should be
when
law.
You come to the marriage,
law
the money much. You have when
no,
you, in California, in California, the money you
These
have when you
smart.
Come to the marriage, the money you have when you come to the marriage is yours.
No matter what?
Yes. And even after being married, that money stays with you. It's the money that you make together when you're together.
So let's say you have a stay-at-home wife who makes no money.
But she's watching your kids or whatever. Right?
Yeah. And then?
You owe her half. And good
so
luck.
So she gets half your shit.
But you know what?
Still
when you have
gets
kids,
half
you're
your shit.
Give, when you have
what
kids,
are we talking
you're
about?
Half anyway. Like, I'd give my kids half anyway.
My whole position on it is if you're going to have kids, you want to make it as quick and easy and painless as possible. And so if you just agree on everything and have everything pretty much done by that time, then your kids have to go through less.
Yeah, but that's not how it works anyway, even with a prenup.
Well, would you agree that there is some less work involved in a divorce with a prenup involved?
Easily, yes. You're 100% correct.
There you go. I wouldn't want the kids to have to deal with it.
I'll tell you what, when my parents got divorced, sign me up. Did not care. Had two rooms, two bedrooms, two Christmases,
how old were you?
Two birthdays.
Spoiled rotten.
Two friends on each. I mean, I'd drive to my dad's house, group of friends. Next night, drive to my mom's, group of friends. My dad say no to something. Go to my mom's house, get it. You know what I'm saying? Divorce? Sign me up.
How old were you?
It was great. I think I was like 9. It was amazing. My brother struggled with it. My brother.
That's so funny.
My brother.
Sign me up.
Sign me up. Two birthdays.
Guilt.
We're celebrating.
I get guilt
two
gifts.
Birthdays.
Yeah. Poor me.
Yeah.
I better get two Christmases.
I think about it. When you're a kid, it sounds ridiculous. For me, it was amazing. My dad's going to be like, what the hell? You get
your brother
two bedrooms.
A little harder.
My brother struggled
he's
with it.
He's the shop you got to watch out for because he's got
some
anger
the one you
got to
watch out
issues.
For, yeah. She struggled with it. A little bit of anger management. It was getting a lot of fights in school. I was flourishing. I was making friends, playing sports, eating
Yeehaw!
Candy. Yeah. Divorce, yeah. While everyone else was suffering, you know, it's kind of selfish now that I think about it.
You didn't miss a beat.
Nothing. My life really enhanced when my parents got divorced. Weird.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad. That's weird, though,
that's
right?
That's a relief, though, for your dad.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Anyways, think about it. Divorce. Not that big of a deal.
Well, I like that. That's the first I've heard of that, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like it. That's a unique view on things.
Rhonda, but, yeah. Edgar Penn. Sorry to change the subject, but I need to know the answer.
Well, when they do fight, because the Ultimate Fighter 19, they're the coaches. They're not fighting.
I still got Rhonda here. I got to hear it.
I was going to root for BJ.
You were?
I always have to.
Oh, you always have to, yeah.
Always.
Why do you have to?
Because when I was my second Strikeforce fight, I was fighting Julia Budd, and he came to my locker room afterward, and it was like the first UFC celebrity like fighter that I super looked up to that went out of his way to like come talk to me, and I almost fainted.
Have you ever rolled with him?
Yeah. Actually, I did, and I got to do some stand up, some judo with him too.
Really?
Yeah,
at Ruka Gym, is that right?
No, at the Mendez Brothers Gym.
And
apparently you're supposed to like only have white gis there, but I didn't know that, so I showed up with my blue judo gi, and it was like no one has ever grappled on these mats in anything but a white gi. It was like something they were super serious about, and the pictures came out.
Was it during a class, or was it just you guys?
It was just us.
Oh, relax.
But it was pretty cool. Like BJ, he's an awesome person to roll with too. There's no ego involved. You can tell like he's trying to like figure things out and like always learning. You know,
one of the greatest.
Love him.
He is
beast. I don't know, man. I don't know about him coming back.
That's what you worry
BJ
about.
Hasn't looked great. Like BJ versus Roy McDonald, not fun. Not fun. Wasn't a fun fight if you're a BJ fan.
No,
you got picked apart.
Wasn't. I just think Roy's
hold
so
up.
Bigger.
Hold. Oh, I think Edgar's gonna win that fight. Anyways, hold.
You do?
Yeah. Huh. Pretty handedly. And really? I love BJ.
Yeah.
I like Frankie too, but I love BJ.
Yeah.
Jake Shields. Cut. Let's talk about it. Who's sad?
Cut.
They cut him today.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. We have the same manager, right? We have the same manager. I actually got Jake to sign with Lex McMahon. Yeah. Jake's a good buddy of mine. I have some great stories about that guy. I'll tell you what. If you want to go to Canada, especially Toronto, because he fought George St. Pierre there for the title, you know? So they did all that marketing. When he walks the streets, man, there is no bigger hit than Jake Shields besides GSP in Toronto.
I bet.
Love him, man. We went out and it was insane.
Wow.
Insane, yeah. Anyways, so he's no longer with UFC. So those were the glory days. So UFC released him. He's won, so he started off 0-2, then won 3 in a row, I think, and then lost to Hector Lombard, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't be a worse matchup.
A beast,
they said vegan, monster on some different supplements. As soon as Jake Shields heard that matchup, he should have been like, damn, they're trying to get rid of me. Operation Jake Shields out of here. Here you go.
That's literally
that's
what they're
what they
probably
did.
Trying to do.
Yeah, and Lex said they've been trying to come because he gets paid a lot of money, and then his wins are all split decisions.
Yeah.
You got to remember, it's entertainment.
It's entertainment.
It's entertainment first. He gets paid a lot of money, so they released him. Speaking of entertainment, that's not a sport. Rhonda, let's talk about WWE. You should have heard her last night talking to WWE. She's like, oh, my God. Listen to this. The Undertaker had to be rushed to the hospital. I go, from what? Fake wrestling? I mean, rushed to the hospital.
She goes,
they take a lot of hits.
They do. Actually.
She's dead serious.
Kurt Angle, gold medalist, told me he got more injuries doing WWE
from fake wrestling
by far than in his wrestling career. Broke his neck twice.
Yeah, because he's trying to jump off the ropes head first and do all this acrobatic fake crap.
And those guys are 400 pounds.
It's just live stunt work. That's the way that I look
at it. Well, now you say this. When she first came to me with this WWE bullshit,
she takes it seriously.
She goes, oh, it's a sport. I went,
it's more of a sport than something that you do that you don't break a sweat doing, like shooting a gun. That's not a sport. That's a skill.
Well,
if you don't break a sweat, it's a skill.
What about NASCAR?
That's a given. That's not even an argument.
I'm just saying it's
NASCAR
more of a sport.
NASCAR is more than a sport than
is
WWE.
Is NASCAR a sport, do you think, or is it a skill?
NASCAR... Yeah, because those guys are like sweating their asses off in there. And
wait. So if you
like,
sweat, so if I go in the sauna with a Game Boy, is that a considered
no,
sport?
No, wrong. Bad
according
analogy.
To her analogy,
I knew you were gonna do that.
There was some
check me out. I'm in the sauna with a Game Boy.
Cut
hey, everybody. First place, everybody. Sweat my ass off.
No
if this is like one of those crazy, like you know, Japanese saunas that's burning your hair off, and you
that counts as a sport? That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to lay down the rules of my sauna sport. Okay.
Producer Evan. cut her mic off. Cut her mic off.
So if it's one of those like crazy burning, because they have sauna competitions, if you had to go in there while your Game Boy is lighting on fire and it's burning your fingers off and it's about to overheat, if you try to like see how far you can get in Tetris before your hands burned off and the thing overshot.
That's a sport.
Not a sport.
Yes, it is. You got to overcome it.
Well, no, according to her, as long as you're breaking a sweat, it's a sport.
No.
It's more of a sport than WWE.
The sauna game?
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yeah. No. Hey, this is my problem. She's like, oh man, it was so crazy. Undertaker's 21-0. He's won 21 straight. And I
go,
whoa, whoa, pump your brakes. Pump your brakes. They told him he was going to win 21 straight. Listen, if Dana White came up to me and was like, listen, Brendan, in August, Mark Hunt in the second round is going to give you his neck and let you choke him out. I would have zero concerns in life. It's not a sport if you know the outcome. It's just not. That's why NASCAR is more of a sport.
They're acrobatic.
Whether you're sweating or not, it doesn't count.
I would say it's more athletic entertainment, but you
are athletic,
have
though.
To say that
some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them are just faces and they have to get carried. Like there's a lot of stunt scenes where, you know, the actor doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Shut up about stunt scenes.
And
well, shut up.
Hey, can you let her talk, please?
Sorry, go.
Thank you.
Go.
I have this new bright shiny career that I'm excited about and I tried to bring it up. You're like, you and your stunts.
No.
I think it's awesome.
No, I'm trying to shut you down in WWE. I'm all about movie stunt work.
I'm just saying that I think same WWE thing. Is more difficult than movie stunt work.
It is.
Oh, it is, Brian? You've done both?
I've seen a lot of it. And let me tell you something right now. I have done my own stunts. Don't worry about that, first of all. Second of all.
Was you going to fall off a chair in a comedy?
Hey, Rhonda, I've shot guns and kicked in
doors. On The Hangover? Did you fall off the freaking...
I did my own martial arts scenes in a couple things. Anyway, Taekwondo. Just don't give me distance, Rhonda.
When we argue about WWE is when, like last night, she's like, oh my, can you believe Undertaker? 21, won 21 straight. I'm like, what? No, I don't care. Fake.
Listen, it's athletic, and a lot of guys, most people who try out for the WWE can't make it because they're not athletic enough. It is very,
that's because they're grown men trying out for an athletic soap opera.
Well, but
you didn't make it.
You still got to do stuff.
Oh, you showed up in double sweat top, sweat bottom, and you didn't make it?
Well, it's not.
Well, that's weird. You showed up for the tryout.
You can't be unathletic.
I think he actually said it perfectly. I think it's an athletic soap opera. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And it's.
And guess what? If name a soap opera, give me one.
Days of Our Lives.
If Days of Our Lives start doing flips, I'm not going to watch that shit either. All right?
You got a point.
I'm just saying that, like, you know how I've used this analogy on Brendan before, so you won't be impressed by it, but how, you know, theater is like the purest form of like movie acting because they have to like get it all right and do it perfect.
Right.
I kind of look at WWE being like the purest form of stunt work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to sell it to a live crowd. There's only one shot, yet like you can't try and put the camera in a different place to sell whatever the hit was. And they have to do it night after night. I mean, their schedule is grueling.
And
I mean,
they do get injured.
Crazy.
They do get
schedule.
Injured.
Crazy.
They
schedule.
Do get. It is.
They're on the road. They're on the road probably 300 days of the year.
That's a
guess
lot.
Guess what?
That's a lot.
If they said, Brendan, you're on the road 300 days a year, and you got a fake fight,
hey, dude,
and you're paying millions of dollars.
It doesn't mean it's not really hard.
And I have to act as a persona of Big Brown? Sign me up.
It's still very difficult.
Oh, it's so tough. It's so tough knowing a guy's going to body slam me with 2 minutes into the round.
You know what your persona would be? Your persona would be sarcastic as shit. And now The Undertaker against sarcastic as shit.
People love it, man.
Dude,
people
days,
love it.
Days, it's a
bro, me
schedule.
And my brother, I was 2-3 years ago maybe when The Rock won WrestleMania in Miami. I'm like, dude, I'm a huge Rock fan. Ronda knows this. I love The Rock, right? Love The Rock. Don't like Rock the wrestler. I like Rock the actor, badass.
Sure.
University of Miami football player, the legit athlete, right? I like that Rock.
And he is a legit athlete
for sure.
Yeah.
So when he was on WrestleMania,
wait.
So when
hold
he,
it.
No, he's an athlete.
You had
for
to
sure.
stop though, and you went, I wish the listeners could see your face. Yeah. You went, oh yeah, for sure. And then you went, you looked up at the sky and winked, as in, well, in context, he is, and you're right because he said he got hit by. He said the reason he didn't go to the pros is he got hit by who played for Tampa? Who's the linebacker?
Warren Sapp.
Warren
or
Sapp.
Derek Brooks.
He got hit by Warren Sapp. in college, and he said, and he felt like he was reborn. And he goes, I realize that those
he went up to Canada. He went up to Canada and played. Yeah. Anyways, all right, keep going. So this is my problem with the WWE. Biggest WrestleMania ever with The Rock. Love him, right? Miami. I invite my brother over. I paid $80 for this soap opera. $80 I'll never get back in my life. I ordered Thai food. The Thai food was awful. I make sure my brother comes over. It was the fakest thing I've ever seen
well,
in my life.
Well, you're not caught up on any of the storylines. You don't know what's going on.
I don't give a shit.
Hey, you're not caught up, so you can't say
guess what? I can watch Walking Dead halfway in, and I love it. I can watch Batman Returns halfway and I love it.
I'm just saying that I used to think the same as you until I got sat down and educated. Well, I would just hear everybody else like going like, okay, this is why that person's beefing with that person. That's what's going on. Da da da. And then like to against my own will, I would be like,
you got
wait,
sucked in.
Why is that guy mad? Like, wait, hold on. What is he pissed out about? and then now I'm like, oh my God, John Cena and the Wyatts. I used to hate Cena, but then Cena hurt his neck and he kept going. And then Bray Wyatt's so scary. And then they turned the camera away and they came back and he was doing the weird. Thing and
I know what
creepy.
You need. I know what you need.
No, but that's good, though.
No, I know what you need.
They do a good job with the stories.
If you like all that drama, you need real world explosion. Legit reality. Legit reality. That is show that? Is so legit.
What is that?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so
man.
The real world, right? Everyone knows the real world on MTV. Six people live in a house. It gets real. So that guy got boring. That kind of got boring. These six new characters walk in the house. Their exes are living with them. You want drama? You want legit drama? Actually, guys punching each other in the face? Watch Real World Explosion.
Wait, hold on. So
it's over. The finale was last week.
Hold on. So they're exes, as in you got a guy and his ex is living.
Yeah, living
but
with
no,
them.
But no. They let the original crew stay by themselves for a little while.
For like 2 weeks, maybe.
They all start hooking up with each other and
6 weeks.
And like after they'd already been hooking up, then they drop the exes in there.
Drama.
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, man, it's drama.
I didn't hear about it at all until one day Brendan's like, oh, my God, have you heard of the Real World Explosion? I'm like,
if you would see my brother and I's text, it looks like two high school chicks. He goes, can you believe that blonde Cindy off the Real World? I said, that girl is a hot mess, dog.
Yeah. He's looking at me, he's like, emoji. she's going to be in, you know, the rehab.
I told Rhonda, when they showed that blonde, I was like, she's going to be on celebrity rehab in about 2 years. Yeah, my brother, can you believe her? That girl's a hot mess, dog. Yeah.
By the way, smiley face. By the way, you know what I got from this? Ronda Rousey and Brendan Schaub watch a lot of junky TV.
You know what?
It's his fault.
World Explosion thing was his fault.
Naked and Afraid, Real World Explosion.
Gigolos was your fault.
Gigolos. Oh, I love Gigolos on Showtime. I'm not afraid to admit that. Gigolos, you ever seen Gigolos?
You love romantic comedies.
Love them. Love him. But Gigolos.
But he's never seen When Harry Met Sally.
How have you never seen that?
Right?
Because you're 30.
Because I'm 30. You're 30. Yeah. I'm not 45 and it's not a classic for
me. I'm 27 and it is a classic.
It is.
You want to watch Harry Met Sally?
I'll watch one.
Aw, cuties. Hey, guys, how about me? I show up with popcorn, shorts on. Why is Brian wearing shorts?
What happened to the shorts you had on earlier?
Those short shorts?
Whatever.
Whatever, short shorts.
I cover my
shorts.
Legs around you. I don't feel safe. I feel unsafe. Brown Verdum.
Ooh.
Don't, because, hold on for a sec, hold on. Just keep your voice down, because over there gets all bunched up about both of us.
Verdum did sing me Happy Birthday once. But
that's a handsome dude, by the way.
But Brown, he was super nice to my best friend, and that gets me more points. So, and he has the Family Guy beard with the little birdies living in it, and I just kind of love that. I know, not like, you know,
Rhonda,
on me,
I'm,
but like it, just the idea
like
of it,
it
is kind of cute. So I'm going Brown.
I like that. Not on me, but I like that. You don't want to. You don't want Travis
Brown. I don't want someone covering me in beard.
You don't fantasize about Travis Brown looking at you and just before he goes down, going, "Somebody order broom service."
Oh my God!
This is for you.
Hashtag awkward.
Hashtag broom service is now trending.
I did at the MMA Awards. I did some stand up and I talked about his beard for about 5 minutes in my act because it was just sitting there, this giant beard.
It's a big beard.
But thanks for like your personal. Thanks for telling me who you like more.
She's like, well, Verdum watches Family Guy.
You got to put money on a fight objectively. You don't have any history with either of them. You don't know anything about either one of them.
Okay,
you go first. You got Brown.
Mm. You got Brown.
I got Verdum.
Really?
Yeah.
Why Verdum? Just too much on the ground.
I think he's a lot smarter fighter. I think Brown fights and he throws stuff and doesn't have reason behind it. I think he's tough to deal with. He's unpredictable. But in a 5-round fight, I got Verdum.
They're both a couple dime pieces. I mean, Travis is a cutie pie. I was up close and personal with him.
Yeah.
Smells like tobacco and leather.
What?
Did I say that out loud? Erase. Can we edit that out?
He's on driftwood. A hot streak for sure.
By the way, and you know I love you, and you're a dime piece, but
you take both of them over me?
Well, no. Not in a fighting, I can't.
Well, no, not in a fight. Can't. Let's get real.
No.
In a looks contest.
Well.
If the UFC had a manathon,
no,
and we're all up there in thongs.
I got you over Brown. I got you over Travis.
All right, for sure.
Now.
Not Verdum?
Hold, please. In a suit, he's a little bigger than you are.
He's taller. He's not thicker.
Well, he's
in
not
any facet.
He's about 260. He's not hearing a peep out of you, just so you know.
No, he's not 260. I just did a show with him. Not 260.
He's about 260.
Nope.
Listen, dude, he can eat peanuts off your head. He's a lot taller than you are. He's got much longer
peanuts
legs.
Off your head.
Stay out of his guard.
Giraffe.
Please stay out of his guard. You know that. You know that, right? Stay out of his guard, please. You know that. You know that. I'll be a cage side and I'm going to go, the one you're fighting him, and you're going to beat him, but it's going to be because I'm going to be like, stay out of his guard. Don't go to two knees, one knee.
You
stay out
pointers?
Of his guard. Yeah, that's going to be me. Listen to me.
You're taking Verdum. So you're taking Brown in a looks contest. You're taking Brown third, me second, Verdum first.
No, I got.
And then you got Roy Nelson at 12.
I might tie you up with Verdum because both.
It's a tie. Kids.
He's a very handsome.
You know what?
I thought you meant tie you up. I'm like, man, you're already man crushing, but this is getting extreme. I'm tying the both of you up.
Tie up with my guard.
This is where he might beat me. He's bilingual, Doug. Speaks Portuguese.
I know.
Spanish.
That's trilingual.
Obviously English.
That's trilingual.
Oh.
Yeah. It's trilingual. Bi
right.
for two.
That's right.
As in bisexual. It doesn't matter.
Either way.
I don't know why my
either
voice
way,
got low.
Two more than me.
Rhonda.
Yeah.
Verdum is a looker. Yeah. Look at that pause.
No, I am pretty much the authority, I think, on who's the best looking in all these.
I agree with you.
And I would. My taste, I'd pick Brendan.
All right, you know, Rhonda, okay, fine. So you got Big Brown. Okay, second place.
Let's say all fighters.
Brendan's alter ego as Big Brown is second.
She's Switzerland right now. He's out of the running, just objectively.
All UFC fighters.
Just,
you too,
yeah.
Brian.
Yeah. Who do I got?
Yeah.
Who's the best looking? I mean, I know who I got. Luke Rockhold is a stud. That's a good looking kid. 6'3", surfer.
Good looking dude, for sure.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I'm not playing this game.
Come on. Oh,
nope.
Because you have somebody. You have somebody and you want to keep it to yourself.
I'm just saying that if Brendan named the second most good looking chick in the UFC, she would be dead tomorrow.
There's not many to pick. I mean, it's
that's
not.
True.
I mean, we know who it is. It's not
that's
like.
True.
Yeah, and look what happened to her because you mentioned it once.
There's Jeannie.
Oh shit!
Wow.
We now have the truth,
there
ladies and gentlemen.
There's Rhonda. There's Rhonda.
Oh,
there's
no.
Misha Tate, and then the rest of the Warlocks. Right? It's kind of like you don't have.
Cat's and really a cutie. All right, whatever. Let's
all right,
move on.
Brian. All right, we'll see where you're going.
Hold on. I need an answer. Rhonda,
so
please give
gay.
Me. Just give me the three guys that you think other girls might find attractive. Because you don't even see any other guys.
Other girls?
What do you hear other girls say?
What do I hear other girls say? Ooh.
I'll do it.
I don't know.
Oh, you are unbelievable, man. You've got your secrets and you won't share them. I love it. Luke Rockhold.
You guys ready for some questions? Well, I'm going to get Rhonda out of this one.
Yeah.
Obviously doesn't want to answer it, Brian. Doesn't want to answer it.
You're so cute. You're grinning. You're grinning. I can't see your eyes. I like when you grin because I cannot see your eyes.
That just happens when I eat buffalo wings the night before. My eyes disappear when I smile the next day. Sodium.
You know, for the baddest bitch on the planet, you are the very feminine woman, I have to say. I see you. Other people don't, but you're...
No, they can't
like,
because they don't have video
girly.
In this podcast. What's the deal? Why is there no video in this podcast?
I know. We have like one of the most famous female athletes on the planet. And we don't have
it'd be nice. You guys ready for the fan questions? Right. We got some good ones. Hey, guess what, fans? We've also had some super creepy ones. Let's leave those out of there. You've been blocked. Let's start with this one. This is from at Richard Kabating, at Brian Callen, who you've, this isn't going to make sense to you because you've never walked out of a fight for your life in the UFC. At Brendan Schaub, at Ronda Rousey. How do you prep yourself mentally before you walk out for a fight? And it says, hashtag Schaub smiles, Ronda doesn't.
That's funny.
So right when you get, so in the back, Bert goes, time to roll. And then you walk out and your corner's behind you and they have your banner and you're at the curtain, the black curtain, and your song's getting ready to play. And they'll go, you're up. What's your mentality?
I don't know. I'm like in just super focus mode. Like I'm just hearing everything that's going on and I'm like already ready and I just want everything to hurry up. And a lot of time I'm like doing my little bouncy thing because I don't want to be like stiff and not moving and then suddenly go into motion. You know, I think a lot of girls make that mistake. A lot of guys make that mistake where they're just standing there and they're like, okay, fight to the death now. Like, you know, so I try to keep in motion and keep moving. And at that point, I'm just impatient. I'm like, trying hurry to
be,
it up.
Now, the difference between Ron and I is I try to be relaxed. I try not to be in such a hurry. I stay warm. I keep my muscles ready. I'm with her on that, but I also stay relaxed. I try not to get too hype. Like you see me, I don't want to get too aggressive because I fought like that and it's not good. High five, smiles. It's just another day to me.
Yeah. Whatever Rhonda's doing seems to work, but
for sure. Well, it's different mentality. Very intense. I'm not.
Yeah. I just treat every single title fight like it's an Olympic final, and I can't cruise in there like it's just Thursday.
No. And it doesn't matter who you're fighting.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, I've been conditioned to be like that my whole life. You know, like judo World Cups and all these things. I mean, I was always like that, even when I was doing judo when I was a kid. And I've told Brendan this before, that I would be at judo tournaments when I was a kid, and I would be laughing around, like, you know, playing, like, you know, patty cake or whatever the hand game was, you know, with the other kids I was fighting. My mom would grab me. She would put me in the corner, sit me down. She'd be like, sit there and think about winning.
Wow.
Stop, you know, goofing around. And I would either have to sleep in between matches or sit there and, like, focus.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, it works. Speaking of that, Brian, I feel like you need to be a little more harsh on your kids after talking to Ron and her mom.
I agree with you.
You want me to come over and smack them around
and
put hot sauce in their eyes? No, I'm putting hot sauce in their bottles.
You just got to push them over sometimes when they walk past you. Just shove.
Just push
them. When they cry, like, suck it up, kid.
Suck it up. What's going to happen in the Olympics?
What are you going to do? Not get up? Just live on the ground? Get up.
Next question.
Here's a bowl of gruel.
Next question, B. At Death Squad Norway, he gives us some good ones. What MMA superpower would you add to your arsenal? Like Paul Harry's leg locks, Crow Cop high kick,
good
Mark
question.
Hunt chin.
Good question.
Brian, you go first.
Am I answering for Ronda?
Nope. This is just you, if you could have any one of those.
I think leg locks are always just that thing you got.
You'd
in
have
the back
just
pocket.
Nasty Paul Harry's leg
for
locks.
For a guy like me, yeah, because I'm not
Jeannie?
As strong.
Ooh, that's hard. I would go with Anderson Silva timing.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a great
That's a really good one.
His ability to measure
and plus
distance.
He's sitting in front of me wearing, you know, beads around his neck, just it's glaring true. At me, being like, you better pick me.
I would
normal.
Probably take Uriah Faber's, I'd take Uriah Faber's gas tank at heavyweight. That'd be pretty dope.
Well, Cain Velasquez.
But you already have the best gas tank at heavyweight.
This
that would
true.
Just you'd be doubling up in the same category. You're already maxed out. You got to pick a different one.
Different one.
Kicks?
No, I'm not a kicker. Kicking is for people who can't box. Let me think. Man, I don't know. Maybe Frank Mir's leg locks. It's a good one. This guy said Paul Harris, but I'll go with Frank Mir.
Frank Mir has better leg locks than Paul Harris?
At heavyweight, I'm just saying for heavyweight.
No, it's anybody. Yeah.
Well, all right. I guess Paul. I'd go with Brian's. Those nasty leg locks would be cool.
Yeah. Well, they're always like that thing that you have to worry about.
You
don't worry about it.
You guys both picked one that was in the examples.
That's true.
Well,
no originality here.
What are you talking? You're staring at Anderson Silva.
Anderson's ability to measure.
I could have not said that.
But you're just staring at Anderson Silva.
Would you say it's Anderson's timing or his ability to measure distance? Like his ability to kind of just.
That'd be kind of both.
Distance and timing go hand in hand. You know, like, oh, wow, he has amazing timing. Too bad he was 6 feet away. Like,
right.
They kind of go together.
Yeah.
Next question.
Thanks
at Topher Rubright. At Brendan Schaub, how flustered is the kid with his biggest crush in the building? He's doing better. Because the first time I brought Ron around Brian, it was ridiculous. I think you got in a fight with everyone because you focused on no one and just asked Ronda. It was like a Sheardog interview. Yeah. We were at one of my favorite places to eat. He literally ignored everyone and asked her, and hey, Rhonda, how'd you get in fighting? Hey, Rhonda, what's next? Rhonda, does it hurt when you get punched in the face? Hey, Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda.
Why is the sky blue? How come the sky's blue? How come I'm a guy?
I just love that you were sitting kitty corner to me and you like leaned across the table.
Leaning and looking at you. Well, you'll notice I still agree with everything you say. You could be like, I think we should kill people. I'd be like, I agree.
All right. I don't mind it.
I love
her. Here's another one. At the Maiden Slayer, at Ronda Rousey, if you had to pick one right now, what do you prefer doing? You can only do one. Movies, huge blockbuster movies, or fighting in the UFC?
Right now?
Right now.
Forever and ever, the rest
forever,
of my life?
Forever, rest of your life.
I'd fight.
Fight.
100%.
You're an athlete.
Fight in the UFC.
I'm a fighter.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for chiming in.
They're only interested in
me. See, that's why we have them on the podcast. That was so good.
I'm just saying that they're only interested in me doing movies because I fight. If you take the fighting out, the movie opportunities would go.
They're not saying that.
Well,
you can be either. You can either be Sandra Bullock or you can be Ronda Rousey.
I'd rather still fight.
Good
to
answer.
Be honest.
There you go.
She's a fighter, dude.
Dude. Again, Brian, these are givens. Hey, bro, she's a girl.
I'm adding seasoning, bro.
Hey, bro, her hair is blonde. Yep.
Hey.
Well aware of that, Brian.
I'm adding seasoning, man.
There you go. You are.
He's my hype man.
You're mixing it up.
I'll just answer all your questions.
Here's one for the three of us. At Brian, at Rhonda, at Big Brown, although that's not my Twitter handle. What would you say is your biggest factor for success? For your success?
I mean,
we'll go around the table. Yeah. Brian?
I just do only what I love to do, and I have a high standard for, you know, whatever it is, stand-up. But I'm more interested in hearing what Rhonda...
Again, thank you for nothing. Thank you. Yeah. I love to eat cupcakes.
Well,
Brian.
No,
I can't do that.
No, I think success is how you've got to have your own barometer for success, right? So
nope,
so
success is
for
success.
For me, it's a question of what my value system is, and I just stay true to that. Like, what's way more important to me than anything is being original as a comic and as a writer, and everything else takes a back seat. So that's my
Rhonda, go
that's
ahead.
What matters.
I mean, it sounds boring, but I think it's just work ethic. It really is. I could, you know,
you're saying that's the biggest factor of your success, just your work ethic.
Yeah, I was.
Granted, you were born a freak, so yeah, work
no,
ethic.
No,
I'm just
no.
saying that the whole MMA thing and the whole Olympics thing, that wouldn't happen unless I worked my ass off. You see plenty of people with all the talent in the world, and then they just waste it. Yeah.
I agree, but I also see plenty of people who work their ass off who never make it.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
You didn't say it's the only thing. You think just said the most important.
You're
thing.
Saying that's the biggest factor.
That's the biggest factor that you
I
know.
Agree.
Before I was, you know, going to shoots in Bulgaria, I was waking up at 4 a.m. and running up and down the stairs of my hotel because I had to fight at the end of the. You know, yeah, I could be the greatest actress and the greatest athlete, but if I'm not finding a way to get the work in for both, then I'd suck at both.
Yep. I've never heard I never heard anybody really successful give a different answer. Like almost all of them.
I've heard so
say,
many answers.
But I mean, everybody
killing
is at the
these
top.
Fan questions.
What about you?
We're killing these fan questions.
Hold on.
Brian's like, hey.
Everybody who's at the top of their field,
everyone has a work
says,
ethic.
Says it's drive and hard work. I mean, and what that means.
I disagree. I know some guys who are so talented in the NFL, NBA, movies, they get by on their straight athletic gifts, and their work ethics are shit. So guess
Kobe,
what?
Kobe Bryant works harder, and Michael Jordan worked harder than anybody. I'm talking about people at the top of their field. I do think that certain sports.
I'm not saying work ethic isn't huge. I'm telling you, there's people who have gotten to the top where their work ethic isn't great.
Certain sports, if you're a genetic freak,
yes.
Yeah, certain sports that call for that.
I think fighting.
I got a different one everything. For you.
Fighting is work ethic, 100%.
Yeah.
It's the difference between for some. There's some guys who don't train like Ron and I. There are, man. I know guys who have done 3 week camp, 2 week camps on the main events, and go in there and destroy it.
Okay, so I got a better
sure
one then,
down
since
what got them
Brendan
down.
Voted mine down.
I didn't vote yours down.
Okay.
I feel like that's a token answer, though.
Yeah,
you both
okay.
work hard.
Fine.
That's like asking a wrestler, how'd you get it? I work hard. Yeah, you're a wrestler.
Hey, maybe you'll let her talk.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since it's Ronda Rousey.
Go ahead.
God. He's used to interrupting me right
now. Mike Hogg.
Go ahead.
I think it's being undeterrable. And having every single reason to believe that something isn't possible and just doing it anyway. Because a lot of people, they don't even attempt things because they don't think it's possible for them.
Wow. I agree.
That's pretty well. That's good. That makes a lot of sense. But expand on that, because for the most part, when you're trying for something, people would consider like someone like you, well, it's easier because, but it's not.
No, it's not, because there is not a single logical reason that I could name to really call any of this has happened, you know? Right. That's why my mom, and I was like, Mom, I really want to, you know, go be UFC champion and blah, blah, blah. Mom's like, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she told me. She's like, professional crocheting doesn't exist. That shit doesn't exist. And the whole, like, action movie star thing, I mean, no one would have believed it. No one would have, you know, there's no one I would have convinced just with words that that was possible. I just had to go do it and convince them otherwise that way.
Huh. And so, did you see that for yourself
earlier on? I'm just saying that most people wait for the people around them to assure them.
Permission.
They need that assurance that they're doing the right thing before they attempt anything.
Can I chime in on this one? Or just Ryan, let her, you want more stupid
stuff?
Let
her finish this, since it's...
Yeah, she just finished.
Since it's
she
Ronda just Rice, finished. Rousey and...
Yes. You got to believe in yourself. It's the same thing. You got to believe in yourself more than anyone. People can tell you, you can't do it. You can't do it. You just got to keep going. And that comes with work ethic. That comes with all that.
Thanks for simplifying what she was.
For sure. Well, that's what it is. I'm the same thing. You got to act like you're an underdog. Guess what? Everyone's an underdog. Yeah. Even if you're talented, you act like you're an underdog. Right. You got to work your ass off.
So here's the answer. Work hard. Believe in yourself and love what you do.
There you go.
No, but I appreciate the answer, because it's true. There was no way you believed. First of all, you told me it wasn't possible. Second of all, nobody had done it before. Third of all, nobody was telling you you could do it. You just you saw it in your head and you made it happen.
Well, I figured that there was
a lot of factors that fell
together perfectly really at a certain time, and I was the only one that saw the opportunity.
It's also imagination. It's also having the idea to say, I'm going to do something that nobody else has ever done. That's a different thing, I think. It's one thing when other people have blazed the trail. It's another thing when you go, maybe I could be an action movie star and the UFC champion. That's kind of ambitious.
It's ridiculous, actually.
Two more, then we'll shut it down. This one's fun because Brian's getting way too freaking Piers Morgan over there. at @Gage_Dustin, how many Brian Cowens would it take to beat up Ronda Rousey? I'd say 12.
At least 12, because we'd all fall to our, we'd all be like, hey, Ronda. I'm not going to hit her. You hit her first.
I'd say 14, because I think you guys underestimate me all the time.
I love it.
And you know what? If you asked me to answer first, I probably would have said like 12. But just because you guys said 12, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to beat that.
I think all
You're
14.
Like my GPS. You know, my GPS said I was going to be here by 152. Someone here by 145. So f*** you, GPS.
We'd all tap immediately at the same time. We're at your service, my lady.
All right, now two more, then I'll shut it down for you, Evan.
Why'd you stop getting fun? You got all.
Right. I would take 100 Brian's, rip my shirt off in the beginning, they'd all faint.
That's right, baby. We'd all faint. We'd all faint collectively. We'd go,
fall down.
And faint.
This one's interesting, and this is for your WWE followers. @_MJ_Mahar. It's a tough one. Do you think you could tap out of prime Hulk Hogan? He had 26-inch arms.
Look, I say this all the time. I don't put limits on myself. I think I could tap out anyone in the world.
So you're saying Hogan. You could tap out Hulk Hogan back in the day when he was throwing around Andre the Giant?
Yeah. I mean, I did have a Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy that I beat the shit out of. Its arm was sewed on with floss. I had a good model of Hulk Hogan to practice on.
Hold wrestling buddy that looked like Hulk Hogan? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're comparing it to?
I'll tap out anyone in the whole world.
All right. She thinks she can.
I'm just saying,
I probably agree.
If you put a limit,
because guess what? One's a legit fighter. One fakes it for a living. She would break his arm in half. Her whole body versus his one arm. Yeah. She'd break his arm in half.
People just don't understand this concept that I keep saying over and over. Like, you think you could beat this person? You think you could beat that person? I'm like, of course I'm going to say yes to all of them. Because right. I'm not going to put a limit on myself, you know, anywhere. Mm. So, because if you do at one point, be like, oh, it's ridiculous. You know, Brendan's a heavyweight fighter. You would never be able, you know, be able to tap him out.
I'm also tried it, so. It didn't happen.
Okay. So.
I'm not Hulk Hogan faking it here.
I'm just saying, if you put a limit on yourself at one point, there's going to be some in-between area where you're like, you believe there are limits on you somewhere. So there's going to be another limit closer to you. So I'm not going to put any on me.
All right. Well, Hulk Hogan begs the difference.
I love 20, hearing that.
26-inch pythons.
Well, Hulk Hogan knows where I'm at.
Does he? I don't think so.
Well, right now we're at the Fox Sports studio.
I know this would be. They're going to get it tomorrow though. So he comes here. You're not going to be here.
I love
we could
Hulk
set
Hogan.
It up though.
No, I love.
I also love Hulk Hogan. No, I love the show on VH1.
Did it's you see? Awesome. Oh my God, show when he messed VH1. Up and he cut like the Superdome.
Oh,
dome
I
line.
Love that. I love that when he dropped when he messed up his line.
Oh,
there's
you
a
loved it. You
love
WrestleMania. Love that part.
That fake part.
Caught. You've been caught, sir.
I love
You've been
that
exposed.
Part.
I'm a huge fan. I love Macho Man Randy Savage.
And then Stone Cold and Rock just kept running with a joke. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was awesome.
All right, here's
he
one last
it.
Question
secretly loves
for
it.
Rhonda, specifically for you, at Death Squad MUFC. On the set of Expendables 3, who'd be the toughest for you to beat up?
Victor Ortiz, because he was the only other real fighter.
You think? He's tiny. You take him down in a heartbeat.
I mean,
you're not hearing a peep. I tell you what, who's going to give you some trouble? My boy Wesley Snipes with his footwork.
I'm surprised he'll didn't say Dolph Lundgren.
You know what? I saw him in Golds, though. His knees are all shaky.
Yeah.
He's
oh, no.
Old. He's old. Wesley Snipes, though,
old.
Moves
he's,
pretty well.
He's in
got
shape.
A lot of you know miles on him, man. That guy charged it for a while.
Either way, I don't think you're taking out Wesley Snipes. I think he's giving you a fight.
I think I would handle me some Wesley Snipes. And
I think Ortiz would be the easiest fight for you. You're about the same size.
Yeah, but he knows
and he has nothing on the ground. You're probably stronger than him.
I'm just saying that all the other guys wouldn't even get a lucky hit, and Victor has a chance of getting a lucky hit.
I don't know. Wesley Snipes does some taekwondo. He's a black belt in something.
Yeah.
Blockbuster athletic. Hits. That's what he's black belt in. Blade 1, 2, 3.
Victor Ortiz?
Yeah.
The boxer?
Yeah.
But you don't want to box with that guy.
No, so we didn't say box. We're just talking about
a fight.
She's
going to
take
fight,
him down in 3 seconds and break his leg.
He would stand the most of a chance.
I think Wesley Snipes
without
would.
Question,
I think Wesley
without
Snipes
question,
is
he would stand the most chance.
I think Wesley Snipes would give you some fritz on the feet.
You're, I think he you're out of your, not more really than, good at not, acting like he could give me some fritz on the
right.
feet.
Not more than
he's
Ortiz.
A sweetheart. Really, really cool dude. But, I mean.
We're talking about Blade here.
Hey,
are there
we're talking about a
involved?
Pro.
Is
we're talking about high level pro boxer.
We're talking about Blade.
If you put a sword in his hand, I would change my answer.
Right.
Well, he's Blade, so he's definitely gonna have a sword.
Victor Ortiz has way more of a chance than Wesley Snipes.
I disagree. Victor Ortiz is too small.
I'd say
she's
that
stronger than him
Wesley
already.
Wesley Snipes with a sword would stand more of a chance than Victor Ortiz without one.
What about Victor Ortiz in boxing gloves? Wesley Snipes with a knife. What about Victor Ortiz boxing gloves? Trying to hold a sword, and then Wesley Snipes with a sword.
You're making this impossible,
Wesley
sir.
Snipes with his great grip on a sword would probably give me more trouble than Victor Ortiz fumbling around with some sword.
All right,
sword
all right. Then let me end with this. Cast of Entourage. Who's going to give you the biggest fight?
Ooh.
Yeah, no fighters.
Piven.
You know what?
Piven.
Yeah, that's one of his best friends. You said you give it a tough fight because he's intense?
Guess what?
That doesn't mean shit in
kind
a fight,
of a
Brian.
Thick.
I would say that it's a tie. I would have said Piven no problem before, but I saw Kevin Connolly beasted on a broken leg, like dancing around, going up through stairs, all this stuff with his leg broken in a couple places and getting surgery. Like,
wow.
Yeah, everyone started making fun of him because I was calling him savage, and but it was true, man. I was just like, I told him, like, I thought all actors were pussies, but you proved to be otherwise.
I
on
think
this
you
thing.
Could beat up the whole cast of Entourage personally.
Well, of course, but time. I'm just saying that after seeing Connolly really handle it with the broken leg, I was pretty impressed.
I'll tell you right now, who would attack Callan like a spider monkey and whip his ass? Turtle will whoop your ass in real life.
There's nobody on that cast that would last.
Turtle will whoop your ass.
Turtle
will kick
nobody
your ass.
Would last one round.
He actually dug boxes at Wild Card. He has some boxing and
good.
Stuff like that.
Really? Good.
Yeah.
He's not getting out of the first round with me.
You know what? He's probably going to give me a hard time for not picking him first. Turtle first, number one.
To be honest, I would take the entire cast of Entourage, the main guys, versus Brian.
Yeah,
I think you'd spin kick the.
I think I would beat him.
All of them in the face.
I'd punch him in the face.
You know, you spin kick. No, see? Whoa. I'm not going to take you if you're going to punch him. I want spin kicks.
Okay, I'll spin kick back.
Kick's your best thing.
Kick.
I'm not talking about your boxing.
Right.
Boxing shit.
But I can still punch hard.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to pull this on Fox Sport. Who would give Rhonda the toughest challenge out of the movies she's done? Let's pull this. See.
Well, Jason Statham. He's a real athlete. Olympic athlete.
Hold. She begs to differ.
Really?
Wesley Snipes, people. Wesley Snipes. All right? Oh, and Randy Couture's on Expendables.
Oh, yeah. That's not.
Let him get an underhook on you, Genie. Tell me how that goes.
let him get another.
I forgot
hook.
About Randy.
Yeah.
I totally did.
Well, you can't name real fighters. I just think Wesley Snipes is gonna freak out. He's been in prison. You don't think he's protecting his asshole in prison? You know how tough that guy is.
He's actually athletic too. He's thick.
So wait, we're thick. Taking. Why out keep all calling everyone fighting? Thick?
He's very wide. Wesley's about 195, 200 pounds. 5'8", 5'9".
In his dreams.
Yeah, he's
say 180.
Very muscular.
I'd say he's a 180.
Even more than that. Don't
but you? If we're taking all the fighters out, I forgot about Randy. Man, my answer sucked.
No, we can't rant Randy. You can't the UFC Randy, heavyweight champ. I mean, yeah, he's gonna whoop everyone's ass.
Because he fights.
Yeah, but he's only
who
a boxer.
Fights? Who fights?
Victor.
Ortiz.
Victor is no joke. That guy's a legit killer.
Oh, for legit boxer, for sure. Yeah. I just think Wesley Snipes has the footwork to get it done.
Victor Ortiz is taking
Wesley
Snipes
doing
whatever he wants to
him. I don't know, Statham and Snipes. I don't know who's the tougher one between the two of them.
I just feel like Wesley Snipes has that X factor where he's been in prison, he's protected his butthole, and he's gone through the ringer.
The prison factor of all the actors, I think that would put Wesley Snipes on top of the actors.
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen the movie Undisputed? He did some boxing too. Okay?
He's athletic. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap this up. This has been a very good podcast. I think this is our best podcast.
It's pretty good. It's so pretty good.
You know what
we
learned?
Thank you for this podcast just sitting there and kind of whatever she said, piggybacking on.
Because I love her. You know what we learned? This has been the Fighter and the Kid Brandon Schaub. We had Ronda Rousey, and what we learned was Brandon Schaub likes to interrupt, and she could beat 100 Brian Callens up. Brandon Schaub likes to interrupt, and she could beat 100 Brian Callens up. Sucked.
This is the Fighter, the Kid, the Ronda. We're out.
Thanks, everybody. Hey guys, I snuck back in without Big Brown messing it up. I just wanted to plug some of my stand-up dates. I will be at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut this weekend.
What the hell are you doing?
Nothing.
What are you doing here with the lights off?
I was...
Hey, it's Brian. I'm at Fox and Tail Casino.
No, Foxwoods Casino.
Fox Casino. Foxwoods Chicken Wings. I'll be there at 7 a.m.
There are no chicken wings. It's a classy joint, man.
Sorry.
I'll be at Foxwoods Casino, and then I'll be... I'm forgetting now. I'll be in Toronto, and I'll be somewhere else.
Wow.
I know.
Great plugs, Brian. Sorry I missed your thing.
I can't remember my...
Carry on.
My dates. I got to go. Rhonda and I are going to go surfing. Bye.